Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Tuesday afternoon, October 29th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. There are certain stereotypes about Americans vacationing overseas, and they can be accurate at times. We'll discuss that next in our Travel Tuesday segment. Right now, reports on consumer confidence and jobs are out with a week to go until Election Day. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And not too long ago on the Noon Business Hour, we talked about this phenomenon called the Great Stay, as opposed to the Great Resignation from a couple of years ago, where everybody up and quit their jobs in search of greener pastures. Now they're sticking around for a while, and it's beginning to show up in some of the quits numbers released today.
Yeah, the quits ticked down slightly in September, and not a lot, from 2.2 to 2.1. These are small changes, but quits have been edging down. They've been edging down across various occupational categories, and it's just an indication, again, that the job market isn't as tight as it was. The job openings fell month to month, but they're still relatively high. So there are a lot of openings. Hires have slowed. But we're still creating enough jobs to keep the unemployment rate steady. It's even fallen. So, the job market is not as tight as it was. The Fed should be happy with that. It's still got a very low unemployment rate. The Fed should be happy with that. So far, so good.
And layoffs are not ticking up in appreciable numbers. So this paints a picture of a labor market in which businesses are happy with the talent that they have.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because there is a report called the NFIB, and businesses, small businesses, have been complaining for a long time about the quality and the price of labor they're able to find. I mean, they hire what's available, but they're not necessarily that happy with it.
And then we have the conference board out with the consumer confidence index for October jumping by 11%. That is the biggest one-month pop since March of 2021. And back then, vaccines were being introduced, and it looked like there was a light at the end of the tunnel from the depths of the COVID-19 pandemic. What is driving, though, this acceleration in good feeling in the month of October?
Inflation has come down. Prices are still high, but the inflation rate has come down. The unemployment rate, as I said, is low. It's not at its lowest, but it's still low. The job market is moving ahead. Consumers, they have incomes. We've had some revisions to the economic data and economic growth. We're going to get a new number for third quarter, but GDP is growing something like 3%, maybe even 3.3% this quarter. So, altogether, it's a pretty good economic picture right now. Of course, we paid a big price for it. The Federal Reserve cut interest rates very sharply, created some inflation. We had a tremendous amount of fiscal spending. And, the next president is going to be faced with some real problems, because you have to pay for the spending. We've got Social Security and Medicare problems that have to be funded. And we're going to have to find some way to do that. So I think that right now this is looking a little bit like nirvana, but there's going to be a day of reckoning.
Yeah, that sound you hear coming around the corner, Bob, that sounds an awful lot like the Piper. Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up in Travel Tuesday, avoiding the label of the ugly American when on a trip overseas.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday, and in this segment, we're discussing something that can put travelers in a poor light due to where they're from. Let's talk about the ugly American with Mark Walters, Walters World Travel and Culture. You can find him on YouTube. He's also a teaching associate professor of business administration at the University of Illinois, the Geese College of Business in Urbana-Champaign. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And the stereotype of the ugly American, it takes on a lot of different forms. And what is the most common way in which an American tourist can be uncouth abroad?
I think one of the biggest ways, and we get this reputation for just being loud and very boisterous when we travel, and it's just because we're a very gregarious society. We like to talk. We like to share our opinions and our ideas, and that's one of the things that some countries, they get a little bit overwhelmed with the loudness factor. So what I always tell people is, like, hey, when you're going to travel around, remember those inside voices we had in the school? Start with that. You're going to get way ahead of yourself right there. That's one of the big ones.
Now, what are some of the countries in which the loud and boisterous American is not necessarily a welcome sight or sound?
So if you're looking at Northern Europe, in general, Northern Europe, the Scandinavian countries, the Nordic countries, it's very much, if you're on public transportation, you don't talk to anybody. You literally, it's like you can hear a pin drop. So even if you're just talking normally, people might give you a little stare. And in some, it's a lot of times it's the public transportation or in restaurants. Like in Japan, no one wants to hear your conversation. Even if you're just excited about being in Japan, they're still like, hey, we like to have a private, quiet dining experience. That's where you really have it. It's more saying public transportation and when you're eating, because when you're out about the museums, other people get excited, so it's okay. But I think those are two times you really need to pay attention to the loudness in your voice.
Now, the one thing I learned when I went to Paris 12 years ago was that if you try to speak to somebody in English, that's an absolute no-go. They will just walk away. But if you attempt to try to meet them in the middle, even if you say parlez anglais as a conversation, mm-hmm. starter, they appreciate that.
Oh yeah, and that's what I tell people is there's just a few words that can make a huge difference. Knowing how to say thank you, I mean, think about it, that appreciativeness, thank you, please, yes, no, like people are like, oh, you tried. I mean, I can't tell you, I've traveled all around the world, I speak a few languages but not all of them, but the fact that I could say thank you, I've gotten so many free drinks and free, you know, snacks just because, oh, you tried. And I found the smaller the country you go to where the fewer people speak the language, the more appreciative they are. In Lithuania, when I was saying achu, which is thank you, people literally stopped like, you're not from here. And you said, thank you. Here, have a drink. Have some bread. Here, have some stuff. It is really appreciative. Even in a place like France where people think everyone's so mean if you don't speak French. No, if you just say, you know, pardon, je n'ai pas français, I'm sorry, I don't speak French. They're like, oh, we already knew that, but we appreciate you trying. Goes such a long way.
Also, don't overdo the local accent and try to sound like Inspector Clouseau. Because now this is a story that my wife tells all the time. And that was on the same trip to France. We were out at a restaurant. I went up to the bar. I said bonjour, but instead I said it in the most Chicago superfan accent of all. Bonjour. And she still like just dies laughing thinking about that memory from 12 years ago. But I used the local accent, the Chicago local accent that time. But again, I guess they appreciated the effort.
They did. And that's the thing is a lot of people around the world don't want to try to speak other languages. They think I'm not perfect. Hey, just remember, you're never going to sound like a native. And that's OK. It's the fact that you tried. Like if I heard you, I'd be like, that's awesome. Like I would come over and congratulate you for trying. And that's just a big thing is people just want to see you're trying and they'll come the rest of the way because you'll be surprised how many people will understand your English or whatever language you're trying to speak. It'll go over way better. And you'll look like a friendly American, not an ugly American.
Now, Americans also getting dinged for their clothing choices overseas, athleisure, baggy clothing, and baseball caps. Now, what's wrong with that? I mean, I got high-fived for my White Sox jacket in Europe not that long ago, so people appreciate it.
Well, it's one of those things, when I look at baseball caps, like if you're in the UK or in your Netherlands, in Europe specifically, you'll see a lot of baseball caps. When you go other places, you don't see the baseball cap as often. So it's more one of those things that kind of, it gets people to look at you and go, oh, that's probably a tourist. It's not a dead giveaway, but it's one of those things like, ah, that's going to be one. Now, if it's like a New York Yankee one, that's like a global brand. But if it's like you got your Illinois eye on there, people will be like, hey, ILL, you know, they'll know kind of right away that you're not from around there. And I love every time I see an Illinois eye, I do the ILL no matter where I see it in the world. But that's just one of those things. And sometimes, hey, you want to blend in a little bit more. Maybe you don't have the cap or you have another hat or maybe don't have your Illinois jersey on, you know, have something else. There's those things that kind of give you away. And I just want you to be more blending in because then you're safer when you travel.
Also, it seems like these days, just because we can watch so much international sports, we can, if you're a hockey fan and you know, like Russian hockey, you can wear the right KHL cap. Or mm-hmm. if you're a big English Premier League fan, you can get the proper kit if you're going over to Great Britain. But at the same time, if you're in London for the Bears game and you're wearing Bears gear, they can't really get mad at you for doing that.
No. And the thing is, all these things we talk about ugly Americans, people really don't ever take it out on you. They're not going to be mean to you about it. Just one of those things. I like to give these advice just to kind of make it a little bit easier for you there to kind of blend in more. So they go, oh, you're trying. We know you're American. We see your belly come in first. We knew you're American. We heard you, but we know you're trying. And that's what makes a big difference, because people are great everywhere in the world, no matter what.
Mark Walters, Walters World Travel and Culture. Find him on YouTube. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, celebrating Halloween in the workplace.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Halloween is Thursday, and you may be thinking about dressing up for your job in a show of workplace unity and fun, but you may want to look before you leap. When it comes to choosing a costume, we welcome Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today, and spoiler alert, come Thursday, I will come to the office dressed as the host of the Noon Business Hour, and I hope that passes muster inside the Odyssey Chicago complex.
You gave up on the sexy brain surgeon outfit, huh?
Yeah, you know what? Too many people thought I really was a sexy brain surgeon. I didn't want to confuse people. But that brings up a very good point, Rick, and that is some people have costumes that they wear to the adult costume party. They wear it to the bar, and they think maybe it's a good idea to wear this to the office. And chances are, Rick, that's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea. We're struggling with people wearing what they should wear on an everyday basis. We don't want to go the next level with a Halloween. Yeah, we're really trying to bring everybody together. You want to avoid the quote-unquote naughty outfits. You want to steer away from political or religious-based themes. And also be somewhat conscientious about your portrayal of diversity. So I think it's just middle of the road's okay. Funny's good. Maybe do the work from home executive where you have a suit and a tie and swim shorts on or something.
Well, also, I think that brings up another point, and that is if you know you have business to conduct on Halloween, whether you have an office Halloween party tomorrow, which is the case for us, or on the 31st, if you know you have stuff to do and it's very important stuff to do, you're not going to wear the pirate hat and the inflatable parrot.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, you have, if you're customer-facing, you obviously have different responsibilities. I think just the cumbersome nature of some costumes, you need to be able to actually do your work. If you're going there to do work, you need to be able to do that work. So the robot arms may not be the best for your typing skills. And then I think people need to opt out. You need to make sure people understand introverts or people who just aren't comfortable with that stuff. They know they either have an option to work from home or don't necessarily have to participate. And if you want to try to drag some people into it, include them, maybe come up with some trivia questions or some games to play, the food-based ideas that allow people to participate without actually having to get dressed up.
Now, we do. Now our company is having their Halloween party tomorrow. I have stuff to do in the afternoon after I get off the air at 3 o'clock. So my participation in the Halloween party is going to be just scoping out the candy and then going back to my desk. But it seems like, I mean, people will dress up tomorrow, but I'm guessing more often than not, you're going to see a lot of Bears jerseys, a lot of Cubs jerseys, that middle-of-the-road type of costume that offends nobody, unless you're a Packers fan.
Yeah, or unless you've got Cubs and Sox fans both showing up, then you'll have a problem there. But yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Pick things that are either relatively harmless, fun in nature, not necessarily controversial, and be ready with maybe a backup shirt or jacket in case you do have to suddenly break out into a meeting or something.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Travel Tuesday, exploring the possibilities of a baby moon. One last hurrah trip before the child arrives.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Nancy Hardy. Mayor Johnson's budget plan to be released this week reportedly includes higher property taxes.
Fresh numbers are out for early voting in next week's election. It's Travel Tuesday, taking a trip as a couple before the arrival of a baby, and a little bit of research can make a big difference when choosing a rewards credit card. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 7. 72 points. The NASDAQ is up 129, and the S&P 500 is up 15. AccuWeather says for today, windy and much warmer, sunshine, some clouds, a high of 83. We'll break the record of 78 set 25 years ago, 76 degrees right now, under partly sunny skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, some aldermen are backing rumors that have been bubbling for weeks that Mayor Johnson will call for a property tax hike when he unveils his budget tomorrow. The details from WBBM's Nancy Hardy.
He campaigned against raising property taxes, but back in March, voters rejected Mayor Johnson's Bring Chicago Home plan to increase the real estate transfer tax. Now the Tribune reports three aldermen informed of the mayor's budget plan say he will turn to a property tax hike to dig out of a nearly $1 billion budget hole. The paper says the mayor also wants to sweep money from TIFs instead of layoffs or other staffing cuts that are unpopular with unions. A spokeswoman for the mayor declined to comment on the potential hike. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
More than 300,000 residents of Cook County have cast early ballots in the 2024 presidential general election. The county clerk's office is encouraging anyone who has not cast their ballot to have a voting plan with just a week to go until Election Day. Early voting locations are open at 53 suburban sites every day through Monday, November 4th at 5 p.m. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And this is an action-packed week on a number of fronts. You have the jobs report for the month of October coming out at the end of the week. You have the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. And in the middle of all that, a bevy of big tech earnings that have the potential to move the market.
It does. The employment one is the one that's really interesting to me, though, Rob, because normally, as you know, reporting on the markets every day, you don't normally see an employment report on the first Friday when it falls on the first day of the month. So that could lead to some volatility only because, you know, they had to do the survey a little earlier, et cetera. So we'll see where that reads. But to your point about earnings, this afternoon's going to be really interesting. You know, you've got Alphabet, and they're pricing in about a 6.5% move right now in the stock. So we'll see what that will mean for the rest of the market. Again, we haven't seen crazy moves yet, but we have an opportunity for it. Chipotle Mexican Grill coming out, which should also be interesting with their new CEO, Mondelez. And the one I'm actually the most interested in, quite honestly, for today is Visa. And the reason I say that is because you're going to get a real sense of where the, you know, in their statements of where they see the customer is at so far. You know, we had the consumer sentiment index today, and it said that confidence in the market rose at the steepest pace in more than 3 years. So it's really kind of interesting to match that up with what Visa is going to say about the client, or about the consumer. And will that be enough to help lead us higher as we head, you know, into these last couple of months of the year? Will it maybe set us up for, I know it's a little early to talk about it, the Santa Claus rally type thing, and heading into the holidays overall, if you see consumer sentiment high, Visa gives us some interesting numbers that could make for a very nice holiday season for retailers.
Now, the consumer sentiment figure, you know, the highest level, you know, the highest month-over-month jump in 3 years, or almost 4 years, and is this simply a function of people just generally feeling better about their economic situation, or are there some political factors at play that maybe Republicans are feeling a little more confident about the economy because they feel more confident looking at the polls?
I think it's probably some combination thereof, no question about that. I think, you know, if you think about where we were in the summer in the economy overall, I think there were a few more questions. And don't forget, the other thing is some of the conflicts we've seen in the world have sort of settled down a little bit. You know, not that they've disappeared completely, but they've gone off the front page this last few weeks in a way that they hadn't in a couple of months before that. And so with that, I think you also get some confidence from that, that maybe the world in general is a better place, which takes away some of the worry there.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, tips on taking a baby moon. That's a trip that precedes the arrival of a child.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, and in this segment, we're discussing a baby moon, a trip an expecting couple takes ahead of the birth of a child. Let's discuss the possibilities with Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, Arizona. The website, travelbta.com. Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking. And Angie, thank you for joining us today. And this term, baby moon, I had no idea it existed until 11 years ago when my wife and I, our first baby was on the way, and we decided to go on a trip to Seattle and Vancouver. And someone said, oh, are you taking a baby moon? I thought, that's what it's called. The vacation you take before your first child or a child is born, before you really have to, you know, buckle down and do all that newborn baby stuff that happens after the baby arrives. When did this term come into common parlance, Angie, and how big of a segment of the travel market is the baby moon?
Rob, well, I will say, I think it was baby bling 20 years ago. Like, everyone wanted that piece of jewelry when they got a baby. But as we've moved into this new sort of dynamic where experiences are highly valued, I think that that's really when the travel concept, in terms of how best to celebrate the birth of a child, has really come into play, because we need that downtime, right? And we need those memories, because traveling with a child versus traveling as adults is a very different experience. It can be done, but it's done differently.
And as I recall, our particular baby moon back in 2013 was pretty laid back. You know, obviously not much, you know, you're not ordering bottles of wine at dinner. You're not walking around a city all day. As I recall, it was a lot. You did a lot of stuff in the morning. Then we went back to the hotel just to relax in the afternoon.
Yes, I really think it's important to look at wellness as part of the experience. You want this to be relaxing and enjoyable and maybe more luxurious than what you typically experience on a trip. I think you can go also in another direction where it's more of a focus on the appeal of an urban trip, such as Paris, and being able to maybe shop in the boutique stores for this new baby, especially if you know the gender, or maybe it's going to London and experiencing theater, because that's a busy way to travel. But at the same time, if done right with transfers and drivers and guides, it can be a really enjoyable experience. I would also really look at what destinations are best for while you're pregnant, and also the timing. I wouldn't recommend taking this baby moon trip in that first trimester. At the same time, you're not going to take it in that third trimester. So it's really that sweet spot in between where you can really assess how well you feel and whether you're ready to take a trip. Places like that are remote, like Maldives. If you're okay with traveling, oh my goodness, the Jumeirah Hotel there is fantastic, and they offer wellness experiences designed for women that are carrying child. Other destinations where, on the flip side, I would want to avoid would be places where it's high risk for Zika or malaria, so it's probably not the best time to take a safari.
And also, it seems like the most important thing that you should, you know, build into this trip is just opportunities for togetherness and to just be laid back, because in a matter of months, you're going to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. There will be feeding sessions. There will be, you know, changing the baby. There's also, it's going to become very, you know, stressful. I mean, great, but there's just a lot of work to be done. So it seems like that you really want to have experiences that you can draw upon when things get stressful after the baby arrives.
I couldn't agree more. Like, I think this is a perfect time. Now, maybe you won't do as strenuous hiking, but it's a perfect time to maybe explore a national park in a more scenic fashion. Flying into a place like Jackson Hole, an hour away, you've got all these national parks, but you also have rustic luxury resorts such as Brush Creek. These are awesome places to kind of blend nature with wellness and that togetherness, because you're absolutely right. You need to, it's a time to reflect and to really celebrate, and to do so in a very intimate environment that you can create on a vacation. I will also share a little secret. When my husband and I were building our family. I struggled a little bit to get pregnant, and we actually took a trip because it was exactly what I needed. And as a result of that trip, so we kind of had the pre-baby moon trip.
the vacation was that good, huh?
And
then lastly, and then very quickly too, I mean, we're talking about you planning a baby moon for yourself. You can also give this as a gift too.
It's an excellent gift. It's a great way for other people to show that level of support that they're going to provide this new mom and dad to say, look, you can take these trips before the baby, while you have the baby. It really is those people in your life, grandparents, aunts, uncles, sisters, and brothers, that are going to really help support you creating a family. And it is. It's the ability to travel when you have kids is often dependent upon A, the level of support, and two, your willingness to travel with or without the kids. So it is a great way for people to show that they are supporting the celebration of a family and the importance of the relationship starting with mom and dad.
Angie Rice, co-founder, Boutique Travel Advisors. Find her online, travelbta.com.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Rewards credit cards can help you get something extra for everyday spending, but they're not all created equal. We're joined by Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst with Bankrate.com based in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. When assessing a rewards credit card, should you be looking for flexibility, or should you try to accomplish something specific with that rewards card?
I'm a big fan of flexibility, which cash back really gives you the ultimate form of flexibility. I mean, you could use it for just about anything. But when it comes to your reward strategy, it's best to think through strategies such as how do you spend your money, you know, because different cards emphasize different rewards categories. What do you want to get out of your rewards, namely travel versus cash back? And then how much work are you willing to put in? Travel can be more work to find the best deals. It is a bit more lucrative, so that's a trade-off that you should consider.
And then when we're talking, and also don't be blinded by the actual reward, because sometimes the annual fee could wipe out whatever reward you get.
Absolutely. We should definitely talk about fees. Interest is a big one, too. Now, rewards really are only worth it if you're paying in full and avoiding interest. The average credit card charges about 20.5% after all. But yeah, annual fees are a worthy consideration as well. Sometimes it's worth it. A lot of these cards throw in extra perks, everything from airport lounge access to free check bags, even everyday stuff like the Amex Platinum will give you a Walmart Plus membership and, you know, help pay for your New York Times subscription and things like that. But you need to think about, are you going to use these extra perks? Otherwise, you're paying a lot of money for nothing, really.
Yeah, don't get blinded by the airport lounge access, because even though you're really, you know, your eyes just pop out thinking, you know, I can go into the United Lounge at O'Hare, then you realize, wait a minute, I fly once a year, and I'm flying out at a time before the lounge opens, and all of a sudden you're paying an extra fee for a thing you never use.
Yeah, that's a time that it's probably not worth it. Somebody like that maybe should pivot to more of a cash back card, or if you want travel rewards, get a flexible travel rewards card where you can use a lot of different airlines, and even the once or twice a year traveler could benefit. Now, if you are a real road warrior, then maybe it does make sense to double down on loyalty with an airline branded card. You know, you get the United card or the American Airline card and you're flying them all the time. Or if you are in and out of the airport lounge, or you're going to benefit from a TSA pre-check membership, a lot of cards throw these things in, but really think through your personal habits. It's not a one size fits all kind of situation.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today.